What a great week to be in Los Angeles, huh? So much going on. Andre Drummond has landed. The USC Trojans and the UCLA Bruins are both in the Elite Eight. Baseball season starts officially Thursday at Dodger Stadium. It is a great week to be alive.
And everything went right. USC and UCLA have both advanced to the Elite Eight, and the Lakers got their man, Andre Drummond.
Yes.
We expect Andre to join us in a matter of moments. He is. We're going to do the first interview with him as a Laker. He's scheduled to come on at 1 o'clock in 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And Mace, this is probably the most impactful buyout candidate.
Yep.
I can't think of an NBA player this good who came to their team by way of a buyout maybe ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a guy who's really, you know, arguably the best rebounder in the world, leads the league in block shots. Great defensive force down low. I mean, I've said all along that, you know, I felt what the team was missing was that sort of interior defense, that interior presence, that shot blocking, rim protecting presence that they had last year in the case of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. And I thought this was a missing piece, some depth in the front court. And this is a huge, huge get for him.
All right. So let me give you guys, normally guys like this just aren't available via the buyout market. He is a two-time All-Star, a four-time rebounding champion. He's been top two in rebounds for seven straight seasons. Last year, he was first in rebounds, 15 a game, first in offensive rebounds, second in second chance points, third in steals, fourth in points in the paint, fifth in double-doubles, and ninth in blocks. You just can't get those guys on the discount rack.
Right,
and
right.
And because the league is moving away from the back-to-the-basket center, especially young teams who are in a rebuild, both Detroit and Cleveland have moved off of him, and the Lakers now are in a position where they can play no matter what style the other team wants to play, they can do it. If they want to run up and down, Anthony Davis can play center. If they want to spread the floor, Marc Gasol can play center. If they want to go big, Andre Drummond can play center. And basically, if you want to put Drummond and Anthony Davis on the court at the same time, the paint is closed.
Yeah, paint is not open for business, that's for sure. And they're going to face some teams with some great size. You know, they're going to face Nikola Jokic and Rudy Gobert, and they're going to face, you know, the centers.
Potentially Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is another one, yeah. So they're going to see those guys, and this gives them an opportunity. Meanwhile, you know, it's sort of an arms race because Brooklyn went out and got LaMarcus Aldridge. They add him along with Blake Griffin, along with Kyrie and KD and Harden. All of a sudden, you know, it's starting to, John, the talent is piling up now in Brooklyn.
So the big wish, at least my hope, is that everybody on both sides gets healthy.
Amen.
And we get the NBA finals that we all want, which would be Brooklyn Lakers. And it would be unbelievable. It would be reminiscent of Lakers-Celtics in the 80s when they met in 84, 85, and 87, when it was just multiple all-star Hall of Famer-type players on both sides of the court.
Yeah, and the season really does come down to, and it's what we've been talking about, it comes down to health. You know, it comes down to, you know, Anthony Davis, when does he get back? Sounds like he may be running a little bit ahead of schedule from where LeBron is. LeBron may be, it sounds like, a couple of weeks after that. Maybe we're into late April for LeBron and potentially mid-April for AD. But there's just information floating around on that it's hard to say that there's been any official medical report given. It's a lot of speculation and insiders talking. It's sort of like the Durant injury. I mean, nobody has a really good handle on what Durant's injury is going to entail and how long he's going to be out and when he will potentially be back and how long that group will get a chance to play together before the playoffs actually start. All that stuff is yet to be determined. But you got to love this as a pickup for the Lakers, and they are not done. There is going to be another player added to this roster. They still have an open roster spot. And
that'll probably happen today, by the way.
Yeah, and amongst the names that have been bandied about include...
Is that a word, bandied?
Bandied, yes, bandied. Okay. B-A-N-D-I-D-D-I-E-D. Bandied about include Avery Bradley, who is a buyout candidate.
Yeah, would love it.
which would be a great get. Knows the organization, knows has played with these guys before. Would be a huge addition. And all of a sudden, you know, that was the goal, right? To come out of the trade deadline slash buyout market with some front court depth and a 3-and-D wing. And if they come away with Andre Drummond and Avery Bradley, you've got to call that a very successful run, a very successful week for Rob Pelinka and the Lakers.
And now we welcome to the program the newest Laker, 2-time All-Star, 4-time NBA rebound champ, Andre Drummond on the phone. Andre, welcome, man. We couldn't be more excited that you're here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
All right, so let me start with this. There were a lot of teams after you, obviously. You have a pretty impressive resume. It was reported that you were talking to the Lakers, you were talking to the Celtics, you were talking to the Clippers, you were talking to the Knicks. What eventually made you decide to go with the Lakers?
You know, after some time of thinking and speaking to my family and people who I hold dear and dear to me, you know, we felt like this is the best decision to come here and play, and that's the choice we made.
So, Andre, I'm wondering if that choice was made in the last 24 hours or if you actually felt like you were going to join the team all along once you established that there would be a buyout. Was your mind on the Lakers from that point on?
No, honestly, this wasn't even one of the teams that I was even thinking about at first until the buyout happened. Just when the opportunity presented itself, you know, we kept it in the back of our heads. And just really processed this whole thing. It took my time with the entire thing. I didn't want to just fire off and pick a team right away. I took my time and really spoke to everybody and felt it out. And this was the best fit for me.
Let me jump here, John, and just ask one question, Andre. What were you looking for in a team as you started this process? What were the things you were looking for in the team you would eventually sign with?
You know, I wanted to play. I wanted to win. I wanted to know what it's like to win at the biggest level, whether it was in Boston or anywhere else. You know, I wanted to know what it's like to play the biggest level. So it wasn't anything in terms of just me liking a team more than another. I just picked a team that I felt like could play the most and affect the team right away.
Andre, I was looking back at, you know, people have been excited about this, and you'll learn that Laker fans are super passionate. And one of them went back and found a tweet you sent. I think you were still in college. That you
I was,
mentioned.
I was in high school still. I was going to UConn. It was the day before I went to UConn. I was 17.
Wow. All right, so you're 17, and you wrote, "I would love to one day play with LeBron James." Now that dream has come true. What are your thoughts on you teaming up with LeBron after so many years of going against him?
It's crazy because I don't remember that tweet at all until I spoke to my best friend the night that it came out. He was like, "Yo, I remember this day. This is like the day before you went to UConn." And it's just crazy how time comes back in full circle. So I'm excited to be here and excited to be on the same floor as him.
Have you thought about how it's going to fit, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like when you're on the floor with LeBron and AD, what that lineup is going to feel like?
You know, I can't even put into words what it's going to look like on the court. I'm just excited to really have this experience and, you know, learn from these guys who've been at the highest level and just do whatever it takes to help this team win.
Andre, so I was thinking about this. You were born in New York. You grew up in Connecticut. Then you go to UConn. You get drafted by Detroit. Then you get traded to Cleveland. That is cold weather city, cold weather city, cold weather city, cold weather city. Now it's like 80 degrees. Do we need to go get you some shorts? Do you have like a California wardrobe, or do you have to go get one?
I don't at all. I have a lot of sweatpants, hoodies, and thick clothes. I gotta get some shorts and a short sleeve t-shirt.
Well, Mace, tell him Mason grew up in Cleveland and he moved here and never went back.
Never went back, Andre. Never went back. Man, once you get to L.A.
Andre, so when you look at your defense in particular, Anthony Davis, who was in your draft class, you were the 9th pick that year. He was the 1st pick. You two are now in the same defense with a defensive coach, Frank Vogel. And LeBron's a first-team all-defense player several years. What do you think you guys can do as a defense now that you're here?
you know, I think they're going to use me in a way that it's beneficial for the team. They're going to tell me whatever I need to do to help the team be great defensively. And I think with those minds defensively, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy defensively for our team.
So, Andre, obviously, in addition to the Lakers acquiring you here in the last 24 hours, the Brooklyn Nets acquired LaMarcus Aldridge. They previously got Blake Griffin. Obviously, they've got that match of Kyrie and KD and Harden. Do you have one eye on Brooklyn and what they're doing?
You know, my main focus is being here in Los Angeles with this team and finding a way to get acclimated ASAP and finding ways to help this team be great defensively.
Andre, you haven't played in a game since February. You and the Cavs reached an agreement that you would, you know, kind of not play so the young guys in Cleveland could play. When you played against the Lakers in January, you had a great game, 25 points, 17 rebounds. Where's your conditioning at? Could we see you as early as this week, or do you need some time to learn the plays and ramp up? Or what's in your head about when you would be available to play your first game as a Laker?
You know, it's crazy you asked that. During this time, you know, I use this time to get myself in the best condition possible. You know, I've lost about 10 to 15 pounds during this time. Wow. So right now I'm probably in the best shape I can be in. I'm ready to play today. I don't need any time to get revved up, but I can play right now.
You hear that, Mace? Wednesday,
yep.
Milwaukee. Let's
ready
go.
Ready to go. Ready to go. Hey, listen, Andre, congratulations on this, man. Thanks very much for coming on. We appreciate your time a lot, and we are excited to see where this thing goes as we go down the stretch, hopefully march into another championship.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andre.
Right,
welcome.
Andre.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And that's great, man.
That's the one I've been waiting for. That is the one I've been waiting for all along. Andre Drummond was the buyout candidate that I wanted on the Lakers more than anybody. We've talked about him for literally weeks. Okay. And finally, that deal comes to pass.
So, Mace, the fact that he could, you know, Frank Vogel may have a different answer for that. The Lakers are off today. I think Frank may talk, but or if not, he'll talk tomorrow. But I'm excited that he potentially could play now, and here's why. The Lakers play Milwaukee on Wednesday.
Yep.
Then they go on a 7-game road trip. Now, it's a little misleading because one of those games is Sunday against the Clippers.
Against the Clippers, yeah.
So they come home. But after that, it's at Toronto, which is really in Tampa. You don't have to go to Canada.
Yes.
But it's at Toronto, at Miami, at Brooklyn, at the Knicks, at Charlotte. And then the Celtics and 2 games with Utah.
Yeah.
Right after that. So the first 20 days of April, which really starts on the 31st of March, that would be Wednesday against Milwaukee, are as tough of a 20-day stretch as the Lakers are going to have, and most likely it'll be without LeBron and AD. And what I've been watching, like the 2 games, they won these 2 games over the weekend.
Yes.
And what you want now, while LeBron and AD are out, is steal as many of these games as possible.
Tread water.
You won't be favored in many of them because, I mean, take the 2 best players off of any team, but now, that game Friday in Sacramento, they lost to Sacramento without LeBron and AD right before the All-Star break. Now with Drummond, that's a winnable game.
Yeah, I know. That's a winnable game.
The Toronto game becomes winnable. The Charlotte game becomes winnable. And not that they couldn't steal one of those other ones. They just won't be favored in them.
It's a rough stretch. Home Milwaukee, at Sacramento, at Clippers, at Toronto, at Miami, at Brooklyn, at Knicks, at Charlotte, home Boston, back-to-back Utah at home.
And I again, this guy is a mountain of a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 7 feet tall. He said he lost 15 pounds, but he normally plays, you know, 285-ish. The only guy who has comparable size to him in the league is Embiid. That's how big he is. And he's kind of a pogo stick. And the fact that he rebounds at the rate he does means that and he also leads the league in offensive rebounds every year, means that the Lakers are just ridiculously long, like they were last year with JaVale, Dwight, and AD. Now, Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell are tall, but they're not like a giant like Andre Drummond.
Correct.
And so now they've got just a massive size advantage over almost any team they play.
By the way, sassy stat. Most 20-point, 20-rebound games in the last decade in the MVP, in the NBA. Most 20-point, 20-rebound games.
Well, there aren't very many of them. My guess is Drummond is number one by a pretty substantial margin, but I haven't seen the list.
Yeah, Drummond 44, Dwight Howard 19,
yeah,
and DeMarcus Cousins 16.
Yeah, he just basically gobbles up every rebound near the basket. And now Anthony Davis, who likes to play the four more than he likes to play the five, has somebody that if they get into a game against a Joel Embiid, against a Rudy Gobert, against a Nikola Jokic, they can put Drummond in there and use his six fouls, and AD can, you know, kind of mix between the four and the five. It's a great signing.
It is great. And you know what, John? You know what's great on top of that? We are giving away this week a Papa Shot for your favorite college or university. So you know how you go to the Dave and Buster's and you play on the Papa Shot. This is an official arcade level Papa Shot game, and it can be for any college you want. Now, here's what we're going to do. If you call into the show and you get on today, 877-710-ESPN, to talk about anything, we're going to assign you one of the teams that is in the Elite Eight. And by the way, I had all eight. I think I had seven of the eight when I made my picks.
Seven of the eight.
I had seven of the mm-hmm. Elite Eight, yes.
Yeah, right.
Then if the team that you get wins the tournament, you will win a Papa Shot arcade game for your favorite school.
Right,
so that's
how
that works.
We
got
to talk about the tournament because it's been unbelievable. I mean, these
great
games are like glued to the edge of your seat. And I actually think both UCLA and USC, I know,
yeah,
neither one of them are favored. I think they both can win. I'll explain how coming up.
All right, 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland. This is 710-ESPN.
I'm ready to play today. I don't need any time to get revved up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I can play right now.
So there is a ton of stuff going on. Andre Drummond, we just had him on the show, is a brand new member of the Los Angeles Lakers, and he says, I'm ready to go. I don't need any time. I'm ready to go. I love that. They got Milwaukee on Wednesday. We'll see if he'll actually be able to suit up and play for them. The NCAA tournament is going on right now, and it was a great weekend to just lay around in a faded state, eating junk food and watching basketball all weekend long. That was pretty much my weekend. It was so much fun to have those games on.
And USC and UCLA both survive. Let's start with the UCLA game. This team just fights, and
yeah,
they overcame a ridiculous decision that Mick Cronin admitted after the game he messed up on. When they had the game, Michael and I talk about this ad nauseum. I don't know how many times this
has
happened.
Yeah, where he didn't foul, yeah.
4 seconds to go, UCLA is up by three, and they let Alabama dribble right down the middle of the court and shoot a three to
for
send
a wide-open three.
Yeah, and by the way, the play there is you foul, and Mick Cronin said, I'm a foul guy. I've always fouled in that situation, but he overthought it.
Yeah, the announcers even said he's a foul guy, and then they didn't foul.
Right. It's because Nate Oakes, the coach for Alabama, saw him tell his team that you say it was out of timeout, so he was just yelling at his team. Said he saw Mick Cronin tell his team to foul. So he thought, okay, they're going to go into a shooting motion
right
away, and I don't want to give them three free throws. But if you tell the officials, we're going to foul on the catch. As
yep.
soon as he catches, we're fouling him. The officials know. You foul him. Then they only get two free throws, and you're up by three.
Right.
On top of that, Mace, Alabama couldn't make a free throw to save their life.
Yeah, I know.
They were like 11 for 25.
Yeah, brutal.
It was such an obvious foul situation. But then, as Mick Cronin, who's been unbelievable in the tournament, as he said after the game, my kids bailed me out. UCLA scored 23 points in overtime.
Yeah.
That's the fourth highest total in overtime in tournament history. 23 points in 5 minutes. If you think about that, Mace, that would be, they'd score like 160
points.
Oh,
yeah, no, that's a pretty hot pace right there.
Yeah, they were just they were just fantastic. And now they're on to play Michigan. And Michigan's looked really good in the tournament.
Yep.
But their best player went down early in the tournament. UCLA has shown they're just smart and they fight. And I think UCLA has more than a puncher's chance to win that game. I know they're not favored. I think they're 6-point underdogs. But I think they got a shot. That game, by the way, and I find this interesting. You and Lindsay grew up in Cleveland.
I didn't. By the way, you keep saying that. I grew up in Toledo.
Okay. No one cares. You grew up in Ohio.
Well, yeah, I grew up in Ohio, but I did not grow up in Cleveland. Don't stick that on me.
Which is the point of the story.
We used to make fun of Cleveland in Toledo.
You grew up in Ohio. They're going to start the UCLA game in Indiana, which is in the same time, at 10 o'clock. They're going to start the game at 10 o'clock Indiana time for TV.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's crazy. All right, but the reason they are is USC's going to go first.
Woo-woo! And the Trojans look fantastic. They actually blew the doors off Oregon in that game. And it was, I mean, Mobley had that one monster dunk. But for the most part, Isaiah and Evan Mobley were kind of quiet. They got carried along in that game. That is a really deep team with a ton of talent, incredibly well coached, a great shooting team. I know they're facing the best overall seed in the tournament right now, and I think they are 8.5 or 9-point dogs in that game against Gonzaga tomorrow night. But I think if there's one team that can score with Gonzaga, who can run with Gonzaga, I guess it's Gonzaga.
Zag. You just got to put the word zag in it.
Zags. I think it's USC. I think that's a game that USC can win. Significant underdogs, but can absolutely win that game.
Not only can they win at Mesa, I think they match up better with Gonzaga than any team out there. They're long. UCLA starts basically four guys taller than 6'7", so they can give Gonzaga trouble near the basket. They're excellent offensively. They have an NBA player in Mobley. I never bet even mythical money on basketball.
Right.
But if I were you or if I were Lindsay, I would jump all over USC, who are 9.5-point
dogs. 9.5.
And I just think USC matches up really well with them.
Yeah.
I like Andy Enfield. I like Evan Mobley. I like the other guys they have on that team. I think that both the Bruins and the Trojans, and by the way, if they both win, they play each other in the Final Four.
Oh, can you imagine what that would be like? USC versus UCLA in the Final Four?
Right. They would play. They can't meet in the title game, but they would meet in the national semifinal.
This is the first time they've ever met. They've ever both survived to the Elite Eight.
Correct.
The idea that they would play in the Final Four is just crazy. Why don't we go to Pete Rosales? Well, we got his last name, Pete Rosales from Costa Mesa. Hey, Pete, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Pete,
good.
How
are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We can't wait for tomorrow's game against Gonzaga. Hopefully we can come through.
I think Gonzaga is really good. I don't mean to underrate them in any way. You know, Mesa, they've won 20-plus games by double digits.
Yeah.
20 in a row. But I don't think they've played a matchup like USC yet, and I think USC is just if you were gonna create a team to challenge Gonzaga, you would make it tall, you would make it defensive minded. USC has a top five defense.
Yep,
and you would have a player that can take over the game, and they've got one in Mobley.
All right, hey Pete, you get USC in the Pop a Shot contest this week. Good luck. I hope you win the whole thing, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you very much. Thanks. That's nice. It's nice to hear.
Well, plus, it's good for us. We need
I need
listeners.
That kind of affirmation. Yes. I really do in my life. I need that kind of affirmation. Hang on. Let's go to Edie from Hollywood. Edie, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on?
Hi. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday to you, Edie.
I'm doing great. I got my second vaccine yesterday. I'm a little tired, but I'm feeling great.
I was going to say, Edie, most people, when they get their second vaccine, have some side effects.
Yeah, I got mine on Saturday, and it was actually, my arm still hurts a little bit, but I never really got, like, serious sick. I was achy and laid around yesterday, but that just might have meant that I wanted to lay around yesterday. I can't quite tell the difference.
Yeah, my arm's a little sore. Felt like I got punched, but I slept like 12 hours. I'm feeling
nice.
Feeling good. Yeah, well, I moved recently, and I felt like with the Dodgers and Lakers playing as well as they are, it was time for a TV upgrade, and I wanted an excuse to call Mirror Audiovisual, and I know how much you guys love them.
Love them.
They blew me out of the water. I worked with Roy. He's the best. They came out, answered all my questions. We played the "Where were you for the 2010 Game 7 game," which is always fun. Yeah, I just wanted to. We talked a lot about you guys. By far, my favorite show. Seriously, I work in food, and so I get off work around midnight. First thing I do is I play all 3 hours back to back to back. So,
oh wow,
it's really. Be live with you guys.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. And I'm glad you. I'm glad you used Mirror. Everybody loves those guys.
Let's
so
give,
I'm glad
hey,
you
let's give Edie Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh, Edie, that's the number one seed. You got a good chance to win it.
As a former Trojan, I'll root against the USC.
That's okay. You're covered either way. Yeah. If USC beats them, you got a great story. And if they don't, you got a chance to win something. So there you go.
This is true. Well, thank you guys so much.
All right, thank you, Edie. Thanks appreciate calling. The call. Appreciate the call. See, I always say, let's talk to the people more. You are always like one that's hesitant to take calls.
The fact that you take any calls is the biggest upset in the history of the world. You for probably 5 years refused to take calls.
Correct. Correct.
And for no reason.
I felt that was like a step in the evolution of the show. The show is constantly
changing. And then when our new boss, Tim McCarthy, took over, he said, "Why don't you take calls?" I said, "Mason refuses to take them." And you heard that and you said, "Tim, I love calls."
Tim said, "Why don't you take calls?" And I said, "Tim, it's a great idea. I'm on it."
Chris in Palmdale wants to talk about the UCLA game. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN.
Mason and Ireland, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, it's good to talk to you real quick. I'm glad you guys are taking calls now because, seriously, I don't think you guys understand how much respect LA has for you guys. So it's great here, you know, great talking to you guys.
No,
real quick,
nice,
UCLA, UCLA, at the end of that game, when I saw that three-pointer go in, I mean, me as a big-time Bruin fan, I thought the game was over because, seriously, I thought they couldn't tell him. Because they looked exhausted. And I don't know what Cronin said at the end of the half, but they came out on fire in overtime.
Yep.
Thank you guys, man. I really appreciate you guys taking
my
call.
Hey, cool. Hang on a second. We'll give you the UCLA and the Elite Eight to win the college Papa Shot game, okay?
There you go.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys. I appreciate
all right,
it.
Chris.
Man. You guys have a great one.
Cool.
Okay, man. We got time to squeeze Marvin in or no?
Screw it, yeah.
Marvin, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, man?
Hey, thanks, Sean. No thanks to you, Mace, but I appreciate it, though.
Yeah. The one to let you in.
I'm the one that said okay.
Hey, Marvin, what'd you think of that UCLA game?
Yo, I was at UCLA when they won the last championship. Oh, my gosh. I haven't felt the chance for them to win in a while. It didn't feel like it the last time they got up here, but, man, it is nice to see them come this far from where they've been. They haven't won, like, they lost the last four games, so it didn't feel good before that.
Right. By the way, this team gets behind every game. They come back. It doesn't matter. They just scrap. And by the way, Marvin, I'm not even sure they have an NBA player. Some people think Juzang and maybe Jaquez could play in the NBA.
Yeah, I thought when they lost Juzang, that was going to be the end of them yesterday.
And
they,
I was just going to mention,
really played well.
So Juzang fouls out, and that's when UCLA kind of takes over the game, especially in overtime. So I thought they were unbelievable yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It looks scary.
Chris, I'm going to give you, just because you said
Marvin.
No thanks to you.
That's Marvin you're talking to.
I'm going to give you Oregon State. Congratulations.
I like it. I'll go with that, too.
All right, man.
Cool. Thanks.
Hang on.
Thank you, guys.
Oregon State. Actually, there are some people who think Oregon State is playing better than anyone except Gonzaga.
Oregon State looks great. Yeah. They look great. The Pac-12 looks fantastic.
Yeah, the Pac-12 has never looked. Matter of fact, had Oregon not had run into USC, they might actually have four of the eight.
Yeah,
now they
exactly.
have three of the eight.
All right, coming up next for you, John, it is a battle of titans, but who is going to win? I'll explain next. 877-710-ESPN. You can always tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland, or you can email the show venicemace@gmail.com. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. I'm fairly ready.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I was fairly ready at the start of the show. What's going on, people? It's a really good time this week in Los Angeles. We've got the Lakers landing Andre Drummond. We talked to him a little while ago, as Chris Morales mentioned. We've got SC and UCLA both in the Elite Eight, and we've got baseball season opening on Thursday. Dodgers on the road for their opener. Their home opener is then the 8th. So baseball season is officially here on top of everything else. A little bit later on the show, I put together what my projection for the Dodgers roster, John.
Okay.
Which they should be announcing here in the next couple of days. All right, so who wins this titanic battle? Gigantic movie coming out this week, John.
Okay.
King Kong versus Godzilla is the name of the movie. It's a little art film produced by Warner Brothers, and it'll be on HBO Max. Godzilla versus King Kong.
Okay.
How can King Kong actually beat Godzilla? Yeah, no, I want to know.
Yeah, I've thought about this, and
Have you really thought about it, or did it just occur to you?
I'm thinking about it right now, but here's my first thought. King Kong's very impressive. You know, it's a gigantic ape with the strength of, you know, superhuman. But Godzilla breathes fire.
How does King Kong compete with that?
That is a huge game changer. Yeah, you know, now Godzilla, a little immobile, a little clunky, like a big,
not good on his feet.
Right.
Not good on his feet.
King Kong, way more agile.
Jumps.
But isn't the fire a complete game changer?
See, to me, the fire has got to win. I mean, you may have a different opinion on this. 877-710-ESPN. And I haven't seen the movie yet. It opens on Wednesday in theaters. In theaters! And on HBO Max, which you probably got at home by now. I love Godzilla in this spot because of the fire. Don't you think this is a spot for Godzilla to win?
I
love these movies, by the way. I grew up on these movies, John. Every Saturday night on WXON, which was a Canadian television show, a Canadian television network, every Saturday at midnight they played a monster movie, whether it was Godzilla versus Mothra, or it was Godzilla versus Rodan, or it was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, or whatever it happened to be. I love these gigantic movies, and so I will absolutely watch this movie as soon as I possibly can. It takes me back to my childhood. I love these big actiony, blockbustery monster fighting.
Now, when
movies.
Godzilla used to fight Rodan, who would win?
Godzilla would win.
Right.
Because he can just pull that bird right out of the sky. Yeah. Rodan was like the pterodactyl.
And didn't Godzilla take on Gamera once too? And I don't.
Gamera. I think Godzilla was undefeated. If I'm not mistaken, Godzilla finished his career undefeated. He's still fighting, but I think he finished his career undefeated. Yeah. Anyway, I'm interesting to see
if
that.
If you can breathe fire, it's a huge game changer.
Completely agree. I'll put up a poll though, just out of curiosity. The other thing I wanted to bring up: do you think that we are about to enter? Now, I'm in an exceedingly good mood because I did get my second shot on Saturday.
Right.
I didn't have any major symptoms. I now feel like I'm, I've reached a different point in this pandemic personally. I know everybody else is waiting for their vaccines, et cetera. But do you think we're going to be entering into another roaring 20s?
It's a good question. I don't necessarily think so, because like this is basically what happened in Miami. Have you been following the news in Miami?
Yes.
Everybody just said screw it, the state, you know, it's all Republican controlled down there. They lifted all the restrictions, everybody started partying in the streets. You're like exactly what you're describing, a roaring 20s.
Yes.
And then a new strain was discovered and the cops had to basically come shut down South Beach. So I think it depends on where we are with the virus, but you know,
I got news for you. As we get our vaccines, it's going to become less and less of a thing.
Well, I think you've been overly cautious. Most people where I live have been getting back to normal for a couple of months. People in Manhattan Beach have been going out to restaurants. They've been playing golf, playing tennis, going out. Everybody's wearing masks, but it's, you know, we're just making
it work.
Well,
now I'm going anywhere.
Yeah, there are a handful of people that were like super worried about getting COVID, and you were one of them, and you never went anywhere. I think you'll find when you start going back out that people are already out.
That's what I mean. But I think it's going to be like, I think I'm going to go. Normally, I'm not a big go out to dinner guy. I think I'm going to go out to dinner twice a week.
You're going to find that you're going to need reservations.
Because you think it's that tight?
Oh, I know it.
Yeah?
People are already out. Yeah. Like, even tonight, like, if you want just for fun, pick a restaurant. Like, I know you like, is it Steak or Ivy at the Shore that you like in Santa Monica?
Boa.
Yeah, call Boa. I bet you they you probably can't get in tonight.
Maybe not. Well, I got to wait 2 weeks. And then, John, I promised I would not take any vacation until April, and I'm not going to.
April's in 2 days.
Yeah, I know. But I'm
come on, man.
Officially, I told you I wouldn't take any delay. I'm officially leaving the country.
In April?
In April.
Jeez, you're about to break the record for most days off ever.
You don't go out, but you go out of the country. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
No, now it doesn't. Now it's all house money. Now I feel like, no, I'm going to live my best life now. I mean, I'll still wear a mask and I'll still do all the stuff that you're supposed to be doing, but...
Have you checked
the
COVID?
I'm not going to have that fear.
Are you comfortable saying where you're going?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Ixtapa, Mexico.
Okay. Is COVID there more prevalent or less prevalent? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I've actually heard that it's actually worse in Mexico, just because their lack of vaccinations. And I did see there was a lot. I know that, you know, you have the vaccine now, and I assume that Wanda's too, but I saw that they actually changed the rule recently where if you're flying back from Mexico into the US,
you gotta get a test.
Yep. And you have to be negative. And so there's some people that are stranded there.
Yeah. That's the one thing about going out of the country. If you were to catch COVID, or if you were even fail a test, like get an inconclusive test, you could get stuck.
Life belongs to the bold, John.
Yeah, I don't know how
belongs to the bold.
I don't know how bold it is to go to Mexico during COVID.
Bold
is not the word I would use.
What about Hawaii?
What would you call it?
I'm with Lindsay. I would say go to Hawaii. I would call what you're doing unnecessarily risky. Go to Hawaii.
I don't know. I was looking for something. I was looking for something a little bit more exotic, you know, something a little more adventurous. I've been trapped in the house for a year. I like want to get out and do something fun and wild and weird, and so that's why I chose where we're going. But I at this point, I think there is going to be a roaring 20s. I think people are going to go out more. I think people are going to party more. I think people are going to drink more. I think people are going to socialize more.
Yeah, it's already happening. You're
I think flappers
behind.
The flappers are going to come back from the 20s.
Yeah.
Doing those dances.
You're a month behind. It's already happening.
No, I'm talking about a roaring 20s. Like a gigantic everybody going everywhere. For example, my Labor Day party.
Yeah.
I'm throwing a Labor Day party this year.
Walk over to Abbot Kinney on Saturday night and tell me what you see.
There's a difference between it's like the 1920s. Different. Mm-hmm. More. Bigger.
Yeah. It's already there. I'm telling you. It's already
going
on.
It's gonna get completely out of control. And I'm in favor of it. I'm completely in favor of once we kick this thing's ass and once everybody gets their shots and all that stuff, got to live your best life. Got to. All right, coming up next for you. What did I have? Oh, yeah. The best thing about living in Denmark, Belgium, and Norway. Plus, the Lakers have landed Andre Drummond, the premier buyout candidate on the market. What difference does he make for this Lakers team? We talked to him a little while ago, and he refreshingly says, I'm ready to go. I've been training. I don't need any ramp-up time. I'm good to go. What does that mean for this Lakers team? 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN. And don't forget, we got Fast Track coming up for you at 1:55. Make an appointment with us and be with us every day at 1:55 sharp. Mesa in Ireland, what is going on? It was a great weekend as USC and UCLA both advanced to the Elite Eight for the first time ever. For the first time ever in a single season, both the Bruins and the Trojans are in the Elite Eight, both underdogs tomorrow night. But as we said, UCLA, Michigan, John feels like UCLA has a great shot. I think USC's got the best shot there is at Gonzaga, who's the number one overall seed of the tournament. But tomorrow night, and by the way, I want to point this out, we're carrying UCLA, Michigan tomorrow night. Pregame coverage starts at 6:45 p.m. tomorrow. So we'll
and
have
by the way, we got games tonight right after we get off the air. 4:15, Oregon State, Houston. Right after that, Arkansas and Baylor.
Oh, nice. So the only game we're not covering is USC?
No. I don't know if we're doing those games. I'm just saying those games are happening.
Oh, they're happening. They're not happening here.
I doubt it.
Yeah. I'd have heard about that. So those games are the first two Elite Eight matchups are tonight. So we'll have half the Final Four by the time we get here tomorrow. We're still, by the way, we're going to fill up the Papa Shot qualifiers. We've given away UCLA, USC, Gonzaga, and Oregon State. If you call and you get through to the show, 877-710-ESPN, we will give you one of the schools assigned still in the Elite Eight for the NCAA tournament. If your team wins, you win a Papa Shot arcade game for your favorite school. So if you get through on any subject we're talking, anything we're kicking around, you get a chance to qualify for that.
And Morales just texted me that we're carrying the second game. We're carrying Arkansas-Baylor tonight.
Okay, good.
That's the game that starts at 7, so that'll be in right after Sedano, LZ, and Cap.
Excellent. So we got a Final Four game coming up for you a little bit later on tonight. All right, so they're experimenting, John, and I'm curious about how you feel about this. Spain, Denmark, Norway, and Belgium.
Okay.
You been to any of them?
Lisa lived in Spain, but I've never been there. She lived there for 6 months. Norway.
What was she living there for? Like exchange student?
Yeah, she was an exchange student.
Oh, that's cool.
She's at San Diego State. I've spent one sounds like a movie. One night in Belgium, in Brussels.
One night in Brussels.
So, but that was it. I was changing planes, and you know, we hung out there for a night.
Oh, can you imagine John Ireland one night in Brussels? What that?
But I have not been to Norway, and I not. Where was it? Norway, Belgium,
Norway, Denmark,
Denmark,
and Spain.
No, I'm 0-4, but you know what you could find in those other than Spain, in Belgium, Norway, and Denmark?
What?
Blondes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Both men
for
and sure. women. Lots of blondes.
Well, here's what I came across. So they are experimenting in Spain, Denmark, Norway, and Belgium with a 4-day work week. With a 4-day work week. So I started thinking, I would like to follow the great tradition of Spain and Denmark and Norway and Belgium and just work 4 days a week. What do you think?
Well, on average, you work that now. You know, if you take out of all the days you take off, you're taking off way more than that. You're like a 3-day week right now.
In terms of productivity, what do you think of the idea of Spain, Denmark, Norway, Belgium? Their thesis, by the way, what they're working for is, because people only have 4 days, they'll work harder during those 4 days, and then they will relax better during the 3-day weekend. What do you think?
Well, when I was in college, I one time figured out to do a semester where I only took classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
But they were insanely long days. Like, I would start at 9 in the morning and have class till 7 at night. But that was it. I was off on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's the happiest I've ever been. But I grinded on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I think it would work. I don't think we'll do it in America because there are too many businesses that need those days to survive, particularly after the pandemic. I know when I went to Italy, you know about this, they do the siesta thing where everybody after lunch goes and takes a nap.
A break.
It's the greatest, but we'd never do it. We'd never do it here. Because we have too many people living here and the businesses wouldn't. Over there, all the businesses just shut down.
Well, the thing about here, John, is most people are working all the time.
Right.
Like, for example, in France, it is illegal for your employer to email you something.
Well, not only
illegal,
the server shuts down at 5 o'clock and doesn't come back on until 9 o'clock the next day and shuts out 5 o'clock Friday, doesn't come back till 9 o'clock Monday. So if I send you an email, like, you know, you and Lindsay, we text and email and stuff like that. If we were doing this show in France,
yep,
we once 5 o'clock hit, our phone, we wouldn't get the messages until 9 o'clock the next day.
Oh, can you imagine how great that would be?
But
can you imagine?
We know, because people in America are too competitive.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Wait a minute. Brian in Studio City. Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I heard, Steve, that you're planning on going to Ixtapa next month.
Yes, sir.
I will tell you, I just got back from there last week.
How was it?
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, I'll tell you, the people down there, they're wearing masks. You go into the stores, they make you, they take your temperature. They check your, they give you hand sanitizer to use. It was no problem. I felt probably safer there than I felt in some places around here.
Excellent.
Is COVID more prevalent there than here or the same?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know, but I would say it's probably just as prevalent. I mean, you got to be smart. You just can't kind of go anywhere and not wear masks. For example, dining is always done outside because it's so warm there. So
right.
I never felt any problems going into any of the locations.
Nice.
I got vaccinated. My wife, she's not. She said, if it looks sketchy, you go inside. I'll stay outside. So
I like
so,
it.
But
so you were like the canary in the coal mine. You go in and figure it out if it's safe.
Exactly. And then, like Lindsay was saying, you have to get tested before you fly back into the States.
Yes.
And that's really simple. You can either do it at the airport beforehand, you know, maybe a day or so before, or you can make appointments through various airlines. We did it through Alaska because that's who we flew with. And it was a breeze. It really
was.
There
you go.
I mean,
awesome,
they even
Brian.
Take your temperature when you get into the airport to make sure that you're, you know, normal.
Okay, cool. Hey, Brian, we're going to give you Michigan in the Elite Eight, okay?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sounds good.
That's a good one. Brian,
hang on
a second.
Brian.
Let's get your information. So there you go. Now you're talking.
So,
roaring 20s, getting started.
I'm telling you, mate, you're going to find out you've been a hermit. It's already happening. People have gotten back to their lives.
Now, I'm talking about bigger than their lives. Bigger, more parties, more drunkenness, more debauchery, more excitement,
you know, for
more
me,
fun.
For me?
Yeah.
That was this past Saturday. Here is Joe in Thousand Oaks. Hey, Joe, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
LeBron just got the best rebounder of his era. This addition makes this the best supporting cast LeBron has ever had. What do you say?
I think that people are underrating that aspect of this, that, you know, LeBron, who averages 8 or 9 rebounds a game, doesn't need to go to the boards like he used to.
Right.
Drummond,
that's a good question. Is this the best supporting cast LeBron has ever played with?
No. Well, he had Bosh and Wade in
Miami. Bosh and Wade. That makes it really tough, yeah.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis is the best player he's ever played with, and now they just, you know, Mace, you've always talked about a third scoring option.
Yep.
Andre Drummond averages 17 points a game.
Yeah.
So he just gets a lot of, and he doesn't shoot anywhere other than right around the basket. So, you know, one thing I meant to ask him, he somehow also, he used to be like the worst free throw shooter in the league.
If Joe from Thousand Oaks, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on a second. We'll give you Houston for the Elite Eight,
ooh,
man.
Ooh, that's a good team.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Joe.
Mace, his free throw percentage has gone up 20 percentage points since the beginning.
Nice.
In the first 5 years, he shot 38% from the free throw line. It was just, you know, he couldn't do it. And now he's shooting 60%.
Well, I think it kind of works two ways, right? You know, in one respect, we don't know exactly when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are coming back. But it's easy to envision. It's fun to envision what it's going to look like with AD on the floor with LeBron and Drummond. It's cool to picture that. And Andre was actually, you could tell he's really excited about the idea of that being on the floor with those guys. At the same time, Drummond is a guy who, and over the next few weeks, however long these injuries go with AD and LeBron, over the next few weeks, Drummond gives you a chance, just one more weapon in games that could be close.
Well,
the Lakers have a lot of games going against them. They're underdogs in a lot of these games, if not most of these games, without LeBron and AD. But Drummond gives them one more weapon and another chance to win.
Well, and as you were just describing that lineup, it reminds you when the Lakers went to 3 finals in a row in 08, 09, and 10, the thing you would notice is they had Kobe in his prime. The Lakers have LeBron.
So that's the comp there. But the front line was just insanely long with Bynum, Gasol, and Lamar Odom. This front line with Drummond, AD, and LeBron is just insanely long. That's 7'1", 6'11", and 6'9", all who can rebound and all who can score. I mean, that's just a load for any team to handle. So I think that you know, while other teams are going smaller and spreading the floor, the Lakers are going to be really hard to defend. Really hard to defend.
Boy, the burning question of the day, who do you like, Godzilla versus Kong? It's split right down the middle, John.
Now, explain to me the argument for Kong. That's ridiculous. How does – okay, so they meet on the street. They're walking down Fifth Avenue in New York, all right?
Yeah.
Godzilla's coming in uptown, and King Kong's going downtown. They're gonna meet at, like, 42nd Street, okay? As soon as Godzilla sees King Kong – he just zaps him with fire. What is Kong's defense for the fire?
Somebody points out that Kong is supposed to be only 25 foot tall in the Kong movies, but he is 150 in others. In this one, he is 337 feet tall. Kong is 337 feet tall, but Godzilla is 394 feet tall, and again, has sort of, I think, the deal breaker, which is he shoots fire out of his mouth.
Now, we have a very analytical breakdown here.
Oh, good.
This is,
we needed some analytics.
Yes. This is Lindsay's nephew. How old is your nephew, Lindsay?
Cameron's 9, and he's a huge fan of Godzilla. I just sent you guys the picture.
Okay.
Of
so, Jorge, do we have Cameron's breakdown of the Godzilla versus Kong battle? All right, hit it.
I think in the new Godzilla versus King Kong movie that Godzilla is going to win because Godzilla is a giant nuclear monster that can crush basically anything with his legs. Another reason why is because Godzilla has an atomic breath that he can shoot out of his mouth, which is really cool. And, I mean, King Kong is literally just a big, strong monkey with an axe. In the past fight with Godzilla, the only reason why King Kong won that one is because when he was getting buried alive by Godzilla, somehow he got struck by lightning and got lightning powers to defeat Godzilla, which in the new movie I don't think is going to happen because that was the 1960-something version.
All right, that was rock solid analysis.
We've got a Godzilla historian. That is awesome.
That is, and by the way, the fact that Kong is just a big, strong monkey is just perfect. That is that is expert analysis. By your nephew.
Yes. Great analytical approach to the battle of Kong versus Godzilla, which comes out on Wednesday. All right. Coming up next for you is Fast Track. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.